May you open our hearts. May the words of my lips be your words. And may we have ears to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you like to take a seat? I'm coming down the step. I feel rather high up there. It's really good to be with you this morning, and I bring greetings from St. Mark's in Hitchin, where I'm usually to be found. And this morning, in about half an hour, St. Mark's will discover that they are about to lose Jenny. It is really sort of slightly ironic that I'm with you this morning, but I'm delighted for you. I am completely biased, having worked with Jenny for the last four years. But she is a first-class priest and will have a really good ministry amongst you, and I know that you will make her feel, and her family feel, very welcomed. So it's an exciting time for St. Paul's. You have a confirmation service in a few days' time with an amazing number of candidates, and you have now the job of preparing for an induction service as you begin a new life in your chapters, a new chapter in your life together. Now, within those two services, you will have two processions. Now, I know processions aren't the norm in St. Paul's, but gear up for it because you're going to have them, because the bishop's coming. And when the bishop turns up, you have processions. We might call them parades in the context of today's reading. Now, I have to say that I am really bad in processions. I'll either get it terribly, terribly wrong. For example, the first time after I was ordained that I ever had to process in the cathedral, I managed to end up not where the clergy was supposed to sit, but in the men's choir stalls. I still don't quite know how I did that. Either I get it really wrong, or it just brings out the childishness in me. I just get really silly and really rebellious at being told where to go and where to stand. And I do wonder sometimes what on earth we're doing. Clergy all get dressed up, bishop there with his pointy hat, church wardens with their wands, and if you don't know what a wand is, you'll discover they're sticks with a thing on the end, and the wardens are supposed to defend the bishop with them. What are we doing as we parade down the aisle? At worst, it's about making individuals feel more important than others, and I have met some clergy for whom that's true. But actually, it's more about signifying that something special is about to take place. If you think of other processions we have wedding processions. And if you've ever been on the continent when you have a whole wedding procession, the whole village processes through the village following the bride and groom. We have funeral processions as people follow behind the coffin. Processions are a way of saying that something special is about to happen. Or they're ways of marking that something special has happened. If you think of Remembrance Day parades, or even, dare I mention it, open-top bus parades when various football teams win various leagues. Today, our reading, our Palm Sunday reading, is all about a parade or a procession. Now, that great theological tome, the Lion Storyteller Bible, always a good one to turn to, calls this story, the story of Palm Sunday, the Great Parade. But this parade, as Jesus came into Jerusalem, had none of the trappings of a great parade. There were no fine clothes being worn, no great means of transport being ridden. Instead, there was a man in his simple clothes, probably, to be honest, quite dirty because he'd been travelling around, and riding a simple young donkey, a colt. So in many ways, this was a simple parade. But it clearly was meant to make a statement. It was supposed to be a parade. Because after all, Jesus could have just walked into Jerusalem like everyone else. And yet he chose to ride on a colt. There was something about wanting to make people notice him. We're told by St. Mark that instead of a saddle, they put their cloaks on the back of the colt. Others put their cloaks on the ground, and still others laid leafy branches that they cut down from the fields on the road. People went in front of Jesus, and they went behind him. This was a parade. For all its simplicity and humbleness, it was a parade that was meant to get noticed. It's quite often portrayed as a humble entry into Jerusalem because of Jesus using a colt rather than a horse. But humble or not, this was a deliberate parade, initiated by Jesus as he instructed his disciples to go and find the colt. So what was this parade about? Well, as with all processions and parades, it was about signifying that something special was about to unfold. It was signaling the beginning of the end of Jesus' life. It marked the start of 8 days in which Jesus would publicly rail against the hypocrisy of the temple practices. It was 8 days in which he would eat his last meal with his disciples and mark his last Passover. It was marking the beginning of 8 days where Jesus was to have a spiritual battle with his Father in order to accept his Father's will. It was 8 days in which he was to be arrested, tried in a sham court, tortured and mocked, nailed to a cross and hung up to die. It was 8 days in which he would be laid to rest in a tomb in the side of a rock. It was 8 days in which he would rise from the dead. The parade on Palm Sunday was marking the beginning of 8 days in which the world would be changed forever, and the relationship between God and us would become very, very different. So maybe a procession was in order, however strange that procession might have seemed to the onlookers. The procession was the start of an extraordinary week in the world's history. But what about those onlookers? What about the people who were being drawn into the crowd that day? Those who were swept along with the disciples as they led Jesus. Those who joined behind Jesus shouting, "Hosanna!" Those who stood at the side of the road watching this strange procession. What about them? It reminds me a bit of Jesus' words about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. Jesus challenges the crowds who were gathering around him, who had also previously gathered around John. Matthew says, "As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." What did the crowds go out to see on Palm Sunday? Did they go out to see a charismatic teacher, an amazing storyteller, a miracle worker? Did they go out to see a troublemaker, a rebel, a warrior? Did they go out to see a hero who would free them from the oppression of the Romans? Did they go out to see a Messiah? Who did the crowds go out to see that day? For some, as they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," Jesus was the Messiah. The cry of Hosanna from the Psalms, which is translated as "Lord, save us," became more like "Praise God, his Messiah, we are saved." For others, including the zealots, they came out to see the person who would do for them as Moses had done for the Israelites when he got Pharaoh to release them from slavery. As the anniversary of the Passover was once again drawing near, was this going to be another time when the Jews would be set free from oppression? For others, who had heard the rumors of a charismatic preacher or a miracle worker who was traveling around, they came out to see the latest celebrity. Would he tell them one of their amazing stories? Would he perform a miraculous healing? Maybe he would even heal them. What did the crowds come out to see? What did they come out to see 4 days later as the crowds gathered again and the cries of Hosanna were replaced with cries of "Crucify him"? And what do we come out to see this Holy Week and Easter? Where would we be standing in that crowd on Palm Sunday? Would we be the one shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Or would we be one standing in the crowd, a curious onlooker, wanting to know what all the fuss was about? Where would we be in the crowd as Jesus is tried? Would we be the ones in the shadows, frightened that we might be spotted as one of Jesus' followers? Or would we be the ones crying, "Crucify him," because we were scared of the upset and the upheaval this man Jesus seemed to bring? Where would we be in the crowd on the Friday as Jesus carries his cross from Jerusalem to Golgotha? Where would we be as he is nailed to the cross and hoisted up to die? Where would we be as the crowds disappeared and only a few kept watching and waiting until the point of death? Where would we be as Jesus' body is taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb? where would we be 3 days later when wild rumors began to spread that Jesus was alive? Where would we be? Who do we look for this Holy Week? Every year, I experience Easter and Holy Week in very different ways. To describe where I am each year is to ask the questions, where would I be in the story? And who am I looking for? For some years of my life, I've been on the edge of the crowd, interested, but not quite getting it. For some years in my life, I wouldn't even have made it to the crowd. For some years, I've been the one who needs to stand at the foot of the cross and see the man in pain. For some years, I've been in the excited, whispered conversations, proclaiming, "He's alive." Last year, as a family, we were going through an awful time. And in that time, I found myself being the one who lingered at the foot of the cross, knowing that the pain I was feeling, God was feeling too. This year, after being carried through that time by my crucified Lord, I am in the excited crowd that can speak of resurrection and hope after the darkest of times. This Palm Sunday, as we remember the parade which marked the beginning of something special, that marked the beginning of Holy Week and Easter, ask yourselves these two simple questions. Where am I in the story? And who am I looking for? My prayer for us all this Holy Week and Easter is that we will find ourselves being drawn more and more into the story of Jesus. And that as we look from wherever our vantage point is, God will meet us where we are, giving us answers in our searching, comfort in our pain, and joyfulness in our celebrations. Amen.